Welcome to Better Returns, where you will learn how to escape the volatility of the stock market by passively investing in real estate like a pro. 90% of millionaires earned and maintained their wealth by investing in real estate. We will share real-life examples from savvy investors so you can do the same. This show is for educational purposes only and should not be considered legal, tax, or investment advice. He once made a wooden bread box in high school shop class. Your host and my dad, Matt Hansen.
Welcome back to Better Returns. We've got one of my friends here, Sean Doherty. He's a prolific real estate investor. He's got a great story here. I'm excited to hear more about it. He started investing in single family homes like many of us. Then he discovered passively investing in real estate syndications, large apartment complexes. He has invested in over 17 syndications with many different operators and many different markets throughout the United States. So now he's recently formed Doherty Capital to share his knowledge and opportunities for predictable, sustainable streams of passive income through strategic multifamily investing. And he's really looking out to help other people gain financial freedom. I love that about you, Sean. And at Doherty Capital, Sean oversees the capital raising efforts, acquisition, and investor relations. So welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me, Matt. I've enjoyed getting to know you more and I'm excited to be on the show today.
Yes. You are one of the most prolific investors that I know. And I think it's so valuable. I did probably four or five passive investments before I started to be a general partner. So you're really going to be good as you transition into the general partner side of it. So tell us how you got started in real estate. What's your origin story?
Yeah. So it was about 2016, started doing single family homes. But before that, I fell into, I guess, the ability to invest into real estate with my mom and grandparents passing away. An inheritance, and I spent quite a bit of time researching, reading books, listening to podcasts, and wanted to get started in kind of real estate investing. I felt like that was the best avenue for us to be able to invest and have our money. My wife and I did, two single family homes, kind of town I grew up in. And I started to listen more about syndications, and that wasn't even really around at the time. And it was like my W-2 job allowed me to like listen to many podcasts. I was on the road for maybe 8 to 10 hours a week. So I was listening to as much podcast as I could. So I got to the point where I was like, wanted to jump into single family rentals and then take a dip into the syndication. So I got started in that in 2017. And I've liked that so much that we've done now 17 deals since then.
Great. That's really, really good. Yeah. So what was the contrast between, the single family? How did you discover multifamily syndications and all this? Like mine was like on a pod. I heard a podcast like 7 years ago. So how did you run across it? What do you remember? Like, when the light bulb went off, this is another thing I could do too.
Well, I've always been fascinated by kind of the real estates. I had, friends growing up, they were apartment owners and they always kind of did their own with families. And then it was really podcasts like yourself, just listening to that. About this kind of the syndication models to be able to like group, knowledge, group money together, and then be able to package it into a deal. And it was a very foreign concept, the word syndication and, doing this all together. But it was a great analogy I listened to in a podcast is, when you're a part of a deal, you're like in an airplane, you kind of get a business deal. You have a destination at the end, and you have people leading the charge. They are the pilots. And you're in the back of the plane, so you're a part of it. You're along for the journey. You hopefully will get good reporting along the way, and then at the end of the destination, you should hopefully, double your money in about a 5 to 7 year period. That was what the kind of the pitch was. But it took a lot of time for me to like really understand it. And it's just wanted to really do my due diligence on kind of the markets, the deals, and most importantly, kind of knowing who the people were, because that's kind of who you're relying on, making sure that they're doing what they say they're going to do.
Exactly. Yeah, you're investing in the individual just as much as the deal itself. So, and that's why I think you're going to be a fabulous general partner, because you have all this experience on the other end. You know what it likes to be an investor, and you write a huge check. And okay, this person's responsible for managing your money basically for the next 5 or 6 years. So what was your first deal like? What did the first one you went into? You've done tons. What was that like? And how did you feel writing that first check?
So yeah, we did the single family homes, and it took me about a year after that to be able to find out, okay, what's more about the syndication model? I listened to, I guess, more webinars geared towards, I got on lists of kind of what people were doing. And then it was just fortunate. It was a friend of a friend who I met in college who was working for a established company. Got to know him. They had done 10,000 units. Wow. They're based on the West Coast, and they had a great track record. And I just kind of told them, I was like, I'm new to this. I want to be able to, like, you know, do this deal. How does this all work? We had meetings, and it was definitely scary to go through, you know, having the total control with a single family home, mm-hmm. and then kind of giving it all up with these passive investments. So yeah, going through kind of the legal documents, kind of understanding that. And then it was very nerve wracking to where you're wiring the money and okay, it's gone. I hope they do what they're saying to do. And it's worked out great. You know, and I've soon duplicated it numerous times, but it's one of those models that I've really enjoyed. And yeah, I've formed Doherty Capital recently to like kind of help spread the word. Hopefully better off everybody else is kind of living in a sense of like whether I want to help them on their vacations or college funds or whatnot. But it's just kind of get you off of the Wall Street journey, tumultuous up and downs, to maybe something that's more stable and you kind of understand it. And it's worked out well for me in the past. And I'm hoping it can continue that way going forward.
That's wonderful. It is good. You're spreading the message, and that's what it really is. Is most people don't know you have these opportunities to, you know, normal people like you and I can be part owners in a large apartment complex. It's just, we don't have a big budget like the $1 billion budgets that the Wall Street firms have and the mutual funds and all those brokerage houses. So like, what do you look at being an expert investor? What do you look like? What's your primary criteria when you're looking at a deal saying, okay, what are the key metrics you look at? Make it a good investment for you. What are your key points?
Yeah. I try to keep it simple in the sense of like knowing kind of the market, the deal, the team. So I've done a lot of investments in kind of the Sun Belt area, some in Colorado, and then Florida. But yeah, it's kind of drilling down on the market in the sense of, is there a growing population in that area? Is there a job diversity? They're not relying just on one sector in the market, whether it's like tourism or whatnot. So if something kind of falters, then you can kind of get by with other jobs supporting that. And then in the sense of the deal is kind of understanding the mechanics. Okay. Really knowing what the type is, because that's quite a big endeavor to kind of learning that with. Okay, what's a bridge loan? What's a, you know, fixed, you know, conventional Fannie or Freddie Mac? So you kind of understand the pros and cons there. Are they doing a value add play where they're going to go in and essentially fix and flip the units? And what's the time frame on that? And then the team is really understanding, do they have a track record? Do they have somebody on the team that's kind of been there, done that? They've gone through some good times. They've gone through some bad times. How do they navigate that? And then I always check for references. Talk to at least, you know, 3 to 5, kind of understand, okay, are they doing what they say they're going to do? What do you like about them? What maybe some things that you hope they would improve upon? Have they been improving upon that? So it just takes time. You got to put in your due diligence as a passive investor. But there's a lot of great opportunities out there.
That's excellent, Lexan. Yeah, you've got a pretty good process and you've invested that many deals. And it really is a learning curve, even as a passive investor. because I know some of my early ones weren't the greatest. I made money on everything, but I could have made more money, I think, if I would have bet on a better jockey in some of the deals. But you don't know early on. It's like, but that's what I really love, the fact that you check references and all, and I do that even nowadays. Like, what is their background? And most importantly, what is their communication style? Are they consistently doing the monthly updates? And is it just, you know, an Excel spreadsheet, or do they actually tell me what's going on with the property? That's what I really like. So what are your, I guess, so you've invested in so much, what are the tips of recommendations you would say to, or the challenges you've had as a passive investor dealing with some of the sponsors?
Yeah. So with these deals, I've done a lot of where I dip my toe in the water, kind of give them the minimum amount. And then I've been a repeat investor just based off their performance. Are they, doing what they say they're going to do? Do I like their reporting? Because I like to see kind of a little bit more analysis of, what's the economic occupancy in terms of who's paying to, what challenges they might be coming across. Like, there's sometimes during COVID, they have had to withhold distributions. And then there's definitely times right now, it's where the interest rates have gone up significantly in a year's time. So with these bridge loans, that goes based off of what the market rate is, and their projections are a little bit off. And so maybe they need to hold them with cash, and they're kind of just in a holding period. Those are kind of like what I've seen as kind of the worst case scenario. And then I compare that to Wall Street, where I've had a 401k and, my account's down 11%. It's a mutual fund. Everyone tells me it'll work out. I'm like, why is it down? I don't know. And I don't understand it. And that's just kind of common. And that's maybe something I can do a little bit more in terms of learning more about why it's down and all that. But it's with these deals, we're having trouble getting more people in the market right now at this time at this deal. And it's just that's a little more common sense to me. And it just makes it, I sleep easier knowing that my money is working over here as opposed to in the Wall Street, where 11%, I don't know what's going to happen to it. Is it going to go down further, or, will it rebound? So it kind of takes it out of that roller coaster ride and put it in something that's a little more stable, and you kind of ride it out and seeing that things have gone well.
Exactly. So the big question, as an investor, appreciation or cash flow? Everybody always has a preference, and it's based on your individual, So what is your kind of, investment thesis? Do you want both? Do you want one or the other? What's your strategy in terms of investing?
Yeah, I would say I like to do both, the hybrid strategy, in the sense of trying to have some cash flow. It helps kind of in the sense of you need to have reserves if something kind of goes wrong. But then they're doing certain things to appreciate it. I really love the value add play, where they're going to essentially go in and fix a unit, charge, $200 or $150 more on rents. And then you're doing that on all, you're going to really increase your income. It's going to take a while to do. It might take 18 months, 2 years to change all the units, but you're increasing the income quite a bit with that, and hopefully getting high cash flow and then appreciation down the road with selling it for more than what you have.
Yes. That's the big boom. I know. And sometimes you go into it, I've invested in passively five deals and probably been in 15 or so total. You don't know going into them. You say, I really am just really about the cash flow or whatever, but it depends on what goes on in the economy. Because one deal that you think is going to be high cash flow, well, really didn't. But boy, when they sold it, I doubled my money and plus some. So that's funny how I know that you can't control all that, but you target for what you think, but the deal may end up turning out something totally different. But the bottom line, as long as I make money, I'm happy with it. I guess that's my thoughts on it, but good. So what markets do you like right now? What are you bullish on? What states or cities, anything particularly that, you feel this is where I want to put my money in the future?
I've kind of just still investigating that quite a bit more, but I would say kind of the Nashville, Georgia markets are like Chattanooga, Knoxville is something I'm definitely keeping an eye on. And then looking out more kind of West Coast to see how well like Reno, Nevada, we'll see kind of where if that's a good metrics, kind of with the growing population and job diversity and then making sure there's a good inventory. When I'm looking for as a GP, it's kind of looking for the 100 units, roughly, and to see if that there's a good inventory for turning them around.
Gotcha. That's good. That's good. I know we're kind of looking in the South, Southwest, and Arizona, I think, is where a market we're going. There's population employment growth. Those are the two key things. Part of being a savvy investor is having a strong business and financial background. So let's talk a bit about what your background is, like your formal training and all that. And I think that really leads to evaluating deals and really understanding what you want to invest in. So what is your background in terms of because everyone has some type of, okay, I have preconceived notions of this, but your actual business experience really helps you a lot in this industry. So share us a little about your background.
Yeah, so I've been in the insurance industry in the past, kind of in a variety of different roles with like marketing, underwriting, and kind of the broker standpoint recently. So I would on the property and casualty side, so talk to businesses and then set up their program, whether if they insured a building into their tech business, restaurants. So I would get a lot of understanding of how businesses are were working in that regard, and the tying into real estate investing. I've done some self-storage investments. I wanted to. I had not done any investments in that regard, but I wanted to know a little bit more about their insurance program. So I got to be able to look at that before investing in that. And then I talked to the broker, and I wanted to see what the interaction was with them. Like, does the operator appreciate and like enjoy doing business with them? Because like there's clients that I've had that, they're maybe a little bit unpleasant. And so it may be commodity driven. So I wanted to understand, I was like, are these going to be good people? Are they going to do the right thing? Is this self-storage operator going to do the right thing if something kind of goes wrong? Because you can't plan for everything, but it's just somewhere I wanted to know, like, do they treat you as a valued partner? And
Right.
they kind of with flying colors. So that was all very helpful in that regard. And so, yeah, I'm kind of going to leverage, be able to utilize in my insurance background, kind of going forward with looking at deals and making sure we have the right insurance in place for kind of these apartment complexes.
Oh, that's good. You get a little inside track on all that. I know we've got a large corporation. Well, OB Matsutica is one we primarily work with, but it's great that you already have a clear understanding of what's going on in that industry. Because I don't understand everything he says all the time, but I do trust the guy. He
Oh
does a
yeah, and it's
fabulous job. So that's really good. You have a good understanding. So what do
and
you,
it
what's,
hopefully make their job easier when I'm interacting with them. So that's just kind of
yes.
make it streamlined. So that's
You get a
regards.
little advantage there, the insights, the knowledge. You understand the terminology and all the things that they do for us. So what is your crystal ball? What's Sean's crystal ball look like? We're early in the year. What do you think is going to play out for large multifamily for the rest of the year? What's your projections?
I think there's going to be a little bit of turmoil in the sense of there are going to be some kind of newer, inexperienced operators that are going to be looking to sell. I think it's more than likely going to be somewhere in Q2, Q3 of 2023, where you'll start seeing kind of more deals in out in the market at definitely a discount than they've been in the past. So that's what I'm like hoping for. We'll see. I mean, the interest rates is always a common conversation right now, and I think hopefully that the Feds will kind of keep it at kind of a flat market, but it might increase slightly, and then hopefully down the road, maybe late 2023, 2024, starts to decline. So those are what I'm seeing, but who knows? I mean, who really knows? So
that's true.
So, yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's with all the kind of maybe potential turmoil, there's opportunity. And so I'm hoping to kind of be part of that ride.
Excellent. Excellent. So what is your criteria then? We talked a little bit, I think you said you liked value adds. What is your criteria for properties you're looking at acquiring?
I'm looking for kind of the, you know, the 100 units, older, you know, 1970s, 80s, class B, C, looking for kind of a maybe the gratification of being able to be in a market where there's investment around the community with the businesses. So looking for job diversity. And essentially there's, it's not something buying in the hood. If you're buying is in a good area, there's something that you can have on for 5, 10 years or hold on to it however long you want. So I want to have like a good market, a good area and a solid complex that's serving the community well.
Good criteria. We have much similar criteria. I think that's really good. That's the safe. You're in the middle zone, you know, the class B middle zone, C plus. I think that's where to be. It's safe if the economy is good or bad. There's always people that want to live in those types of apartments. So I think that's a great move. Well, we're going to move on to the next segment, the lightning round. These are just 5 fun questions. Get to know you better, Sean. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Number one, what was your nickname as a child?
My nickname from my family was Sean Man from my brothers and my dad. So
what was it again?
Yeah. Sean, like Superman, but Sean Man.
Sean Man. Okay. That's pretty good. That's very complimentary. Number two, are you a morning person or a night owl?
More of a night owl.
Okay, good. Love that.
Yeah.
Kindred spirits there. Like that. Number three, what would be the first thing you do if you won the lottery?
I would take my time in the sense of trying to understand what the ramifications on maybe the taxes and I wouldn't rush into anything. I would be kind of maybe sit on the sidelines and kind of really figure out what would we want to do next, and whether it's going on vacations or whatever it may be. So and take time more with the family. Yeah, it'd be good.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. Number four, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I really enjoy kind of where I'm living now. I'm in Northern California, extended Bay Area. And I would love to have the option to be able to travel still. So I enjoy kind of the full seasons, being able to like go to the warm beaches and then be able to go in the snow, skiing and being out in the snow. So we have that availability in Northern California. And but I would love the flexibility to be able to travel, to be able to go to, you know, Mexico or Hawaii in that regard.
Anybody lives in California, okay, you guys got it. You got the beautiful weather, you've got all everything going for you there, other than the other challenges with the economy. But yeah, I do. I love California. So I get your answer there. Number five, what's one piece, the golden nugget that you would give to new investors to help them get better returns, John? The one nugget.
Take action and invest. I think if you're a new investor, I think, and you're listening to this podcast and you're interested, dip your toe in the water, take an investment, do it, find out if you really like it or not. And you'll be able to see the cadence of what kind of the investor reportings, you'll get hopefully the distributions along the way, and you'll find out, is this for me or not? And then you'll continue, hopefully it's a long journey, and be able to do more, hopefully down the road. So, but I think, yeah, just jump in, take action, get in a deal.
Such great advice. That's such great advice. Excellent. Yeah. From a savvy, sophisticated investor himself. Well, thanks so much for your time today, Sean. How can people reach out to you?
I think Probably best email, which I have a different spelling. So Sean is spelled SHAUGHN, and then at symbol Doherty, DAUGHERTY, cap.com. So it's Sean at DohertyCap.com is the best way to get a hold of me.
Excellent. And it'll be in the show notes below too. So if you want to contact him, you're going to do fabulous. Yeah. You really are, with all your experience as a limited partner. That is, people underestimate the value that has. You've been engaged in 17 deals. You're going to do swimmingly well, you know, as you start your big portfolio and start moving forward. So happy to have you on the show, and very best of luck to you, Sean. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Enjoyed our conversation.
And that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to Better Returns, brought to you by Hansen Holdings. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review because it helps others discover this valuable content. If you would like to earn truly hands-off passive income, go to hansenholdings.com, where we help you invest in large apartment complexes to grow your family's wealth. See you next week with another awesome episode. Have a great day.